Hey, we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 11. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Today, we're going to be talking about expectation. I've been praying, asking the Lord, what's the word that He wants to give us for this new year? And I believe this is the word that He wants to stir up in our hearts for this year of 2018. As we begin a new year, He wants us to be aware of His heart for us as a congregation. So our word for 2018 is expectation. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith, it is impossible to please God, without expectation. And so Lorinda's testimony actually addressed that. And then even in our worship, Isaiah chapter 43, the Lord was doing so many different things. And He's saying, forget the former things. He said, let go of those things. I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? And I believe that expectation helps us to be perceptive, to be aware, to be tuned in. When we begin to operate in faith and understanding of what the Lord's doing, it changes who we are. And so let's pray, let's ask the Lord to speak to us, and let's spend some time in His Word. Father, again, thank You for meeting with us in worship this morning. Thank You for touching us and speaking to us. Lord, we pray today as we gather in this place and spend time in Your Word that everything that You've planned for us today would be done. Lord, we say yes to Your will. Lord, we say yes to what You want to deposit in us, what You want to birth in us, what You want to change in us, what You want to launch us into. We say yes and amen. Lord, we receive Your ministry, Holy Spirit, to help us. We're so grateful for Your ministry. We need Your ministry, and we receive what You want to do to reveal Jesus to us and to show us how to glorify the Father and honor Him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You and I are on a journey with the Lord God, so we're invited to be ever learning, ever growing, ever changing. And in this year, I believe what the Lord wants to do is He wants to raise a holy expectation. God wants to grow a holy expectation in us, an active faith that embodies confidence, anticipation, and expectation in God. And so I believe that that word, God wants that word, expectation, to capture our hearts this year and to be our word for the year. And may God grow in us, may He grow in us expectation as a people for Him this year. I believe that the Lord, quite simply, wants us to have a faith that is expectant as we journey with Him this year. The word faith is important in our relationship with the Lord, and Scripture talks about that. In the biblical revelation, faith is mentioned over and over again. We're reading in Hebrews chapter 11 about the hall of faith. It's in one of the most important chapters in the Bible on faith, but the word faith permeates the revelation of God through the Bible as He speaks to us. And I believe that for many people, the word faith has actually lost its cutting edge. It's been dulled by use and dulled by our definitions and understanding. It's lost its cutting edge, its vitality, and its energy for many of us. So what we're going to do in this message today is we're going to drill down into the subject of faith. We're going to drill down into biblical faith and what it means to have expectation in God. Here is reality. Without faith, without expectation, it is impossible to please God. And here's another reality. God's people leak. We all leak. We leak of love and we get cold love. We leak of faith and we lose our sense of expectation and our sense of anticipation for God and what He wants to do. We leak of desire. Our pursuit of the Lord wanes. We leak of action and we fall into passivity. And we fall into getting stuck. The Lord comes to fill us up, to restore us to new heights of our first love, to fuel our faith, to stir in us new desires, and to inspire us to loving action. So I believe the Lord wants to do this work in you and in me this year. I believe that we're to live with expectation, that we are to have expectancy. So we want to respond to what the Lord's doing by saying yes to Him, by cooperating with what He wants to do, and to participate with Him in that. So, you have your Bibles open to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read the first six verses there. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly or diligently seek him. Faith. Faith actually comes from a Greek word, pistis, and that Greek word, it's really hard to communicate, but it's more of a verb than a noun. The word faith means to believe. The biblical word faith is not just a noun, it's actually a verb. It's not passive, rather it's active. Biblical faith is not just intellectual, rather it's active trust, it's active confidence in God. And you and I use the word belief, or we use the word faith in different ways that actually deviate from the biblical revelation. Like we say, I believe that 2 + 2 = 4. We give intellectual agreement. We give intellectual assent. We say, I believe that. But in terms of the Bible, that kind of belief, that kind of faith is not the biblical faith that's being talked about in Scripture. Biblical faith is like this. We say that we believe that airplanes can fly. Well, you've not actually believed that an airplane can fly unless you go and you buy a ticket, you walk into the airplane, you sit down on a seat, and you trust and let that airplane take you somewhere. That's biblical belief. That's biblical faith. So it's different than just acknowledging something intellectually. It's actually getting in action, getting in commitment. If you believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you will be saved. There's a confession. There's an action. You have to believe. You have to act on that. And so biblical faith is different than just intellectual acknowledgement. We just don't believe that Jesus is Lord. The devils believe that Jesus is Lord, and they tremble, but it does not result in changed lives. If I believe that Jesus is Lord, then I'm willing to accept his gift of life, and I'm willing to lovingly follow him as Lord and Savior. I will respond to his rule. I'll respond to his reign in my life. That is biblical faith. So back to the point that I want to make today. The Lord wants us to have expectation, to have a faith that is expectant, that is anticipatory, and that is confident in him. Expectation is an expression of faith. So what I want to do is, I want you to think of the word faith. I want you to change it, because for many of us, it's become dull. It's lost its cutting edge. And I want us to substitute the word expectation for faith. They mean the same thing, but it's a newer word. It's a fresher word for us. Expectation is an expression of faith. Without faith, without expectation, without anticipation, without confidence and assurance, it is impossible to please God. Expectation is the substance, the assurance, the confidence, verse 1 says, of that which we hope for. Faith or expectation is the evidence, it's the conviction, the proof itself of that which is unseen. We have an unseen world all around us. God was moving during our worship time. God was speaking. God was breaking in. He was lifting and encouraging hearts and lives. God was active. But if we're not tuned in to that which is unseen, we're not aware of it. We're not aware of that. And faith is able to see that which is unseen. When you have expectations, you become aware that there's more to life than what we can see just with our physical eyes and recognize with our physical senses. So verse 2 talks about, man, the ancients were commended for the fact that they believed that out of nothing God created everything. That which was visible was made by this one who is invisible and made it out of nothing. That's what faith is able to see. Faith is not just intellectual exercise. Rather, faith carries this expectation. It carries these words that I've used, anticipation, assurance, and confidence. And then faith is an expectation that actually undergirds everything that we anticipate in terms of the prophetic words of God being fulfilled here at Calvary. God speaks, and we are confident and we have assurance that the Lord will work and fulfill his word. So over here to my left, you see a summary. These are just a summary of some of the prophetic words that the Lord has given to us. As we spoke on in the Joshua generation, God gave us these prophetic words like he gave the spies to Israel to go into the land and say, this is what the promised land is like. Calvary, our prophetic future is like these signs, these prophetic words. The prophetic words go in and say, this is the taste, this is the foretaste. This is what you can expect God to do. And God has given us prophetic words. They're on our website, they're in the prayer room, they're over here at the Welcome Center. They're available to us because they're not just words on a paper, but they're words that God has spoken over us, and he wants us not to just treat them intellectually, but actually to stir up ourselves with expectation, to have anticipation, confidence, assurance that he wants to fulfill these words in our lives and for our lives. So God speaks, and we're confident and have taken assurance that not only does God speak, but he keeps his word and he fulfills his word. So we need expectation to see the fulfillment of what God wants to do in our midst. We need expectation to journey in intimacy, community, and kingdom. We said we choose to be a church of intimacy, community, and kingdom. We choose to be a church of hope. We choose to be a church of harvest. We choose to be a church of the pioneering spirit, and we choose to be a church of encounter because that's what God has said he wants us to be. He wants to keep his word. He wants to fulfill his word in us. So when we come here on Sunday mornings, or when we gather in classes, or we gather in our small groups, do we come with an expectation to grow? Do we come and expect to grow in intimacy, community, and kingdom? When we come, do we expect to grow in awareness of the Lord, in authenticity as a skill that helps us in community living and in action, in getting an action obedience around what the Lord is saying and doing? Do we believe it? Do we expect it? And do we work for it? The second word, when we come here, do we expect God to stir up hope and confidence because he has magnificent promises which he has given to us to give us both a future and a hope? Do we believe it? Do we expect it? Do we work for it? When we come here, do we expect to see harvest, to see the Lord adding to our midst, changing lives, and using us to reach people with the love of Jesus? Do we believe it? Do we expect it? And do we work for it? When we come here, do we expect God to do a pioneering work in our midst, in us and through us, preparing the way for the Lord to come and making a way or a wake for others to follow? That's a pioneering spirit. Do we believe it? Do we expect it? Do we work for it? And when we come here, do we have an expectation of encounter? Do we have confidence to pay attention to what the Lord is doing, to the evidence that God is active and at work among us and is on the move in us, through us, and around us? This is a place of encounter. Do we believe that? Do we expect it? Do we work for it? Expectation also carries awareness of our responsibility, of our part in the journey with the Lord. Enoch came to God. Enoch walked with God. And he came to God, communed with God. And in coming to God and communing with the Lord and walking with God, Enoch pleased God. Enoch walked with God, and the Bible says that God took him. He didn't experience physical death. They had such a walk together that he went on to be with the Lord. Without faith, without expectation, we cannot please the Lord. No one can please the Lord. It takes faith to simply come to the Lord. The courage to approach God is faith, and that faith pleases the Lord. No one can please God without coming to Him, and just drawing near to God expresses a faith and an expectation that pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God, it is an expression of faith and courage that we even want to meet with God, that we seek to meet with God, that we come near to God and respond to his initiative in our lives. We come near in expectation because we believe that God exists. The Lord woos us. The Lord wins us. The Lord pursues us, revealing himself to us. We know the scripture says that no one can come to God unless he draws them. So when we come to God, we're actually responding in faith to the one who took initiative to come after you and me, to reach us, to win us, to woo us, to love us. And so it's an act of courage. It's an act of faith. It's an act of expectation. And we come near to God because he cares enough to respond to those who diligently seek him. And that's good news. When you respond to him and you come near, you draw near, the Bible says he rewards that. He is pleased by that response in our lives. The Bible says that the Lord responds those who diligently seek him. If you in your prayer time, if your prayers aren't getting above the ceiling, if you feel like God is nowhere to be found, pull out your Bible, read Hebrews 11:6, and let that prophesying to your spirit happen like what happened in here through our worship time. God was prophesying to us. Without faith, declare it. It is impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And for my own life, I've prayed that prayer and said, Lord, you promise that if I come to you, that if I create space for you, that it pleases you and that you will reward me whether I feel it or not. And so I ask, Lord, that you would change me, that you would meet with me, that I would become what you want me to become. And I'm glad that this pleases you, even if I'm unaware of it right now. That's the reality of that scripture being acted upon, not just quoted, but actually inspiring, changing, motivating, or at least positioning me to spend time with this God who loves me. Again, this scripture has been called the Hall of Faith. And when you read it, you read about people who put feet to their faith. They put feet, they put action to what they believed, to what they expected. Again, faith is not only intellectual. People of faith get in action around what they expect the Lord to do. So that's what we read about in this passage. The good news is Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that Jesus is the author. Jesus is the finisher of our faith. The Lord inspires us with his revelation. We would not know him unless he made himself known to us through the Bible, through creation, through conscience. He speaks to us. He works. He moves. He comes after us. We wouldn't know the Lord unless he first came after us. The Lord authors faith and expectation in us to walk with him and to partner with him, and the Lord promises that he's going to finish what he has begun in us, according to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. So, if we have faith, if we have expectation, confidence, assurance. Faith is expectation, confidence, and assurance that the Lord rewards those who seek him. Then we will do things which attract the presence of the Lord. On the other hand, if we don't have faith, we can actually do things that hinder and resist what the Lord wants to do. That's why the scripture includes in this passage the story about Cain and Abel. Abel brought a sacrifice to the Lord. He brought worship to the Lord that was full of faith, this passage says. And Cain brought something and his heart was not engaged. It wasn't expectant. It wasn't full of faith. And it did not please the Lord. It missed the point of what God wanted. The examples that are listed here in Scripture, Abel came to God in faith to offer his worship and his sacrifice to the Lord. Cain just went through the motion of religious activity, but he had no faith. He had no expectation. His offering was lifeless. Enoch walked with God by faith in a world where most people were walking away from God. And that pleased God, and God honored that action. Noah, in faith, built an ark of salvation, even though he had never seen it flood. He got in action around his expectation, around his faith, around what the Lord had said. Abraham, by faith, followed the Lord and the word of the Lord, even though he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where he was headed. He let go of control, and he simply got in action, in faith, in expectation, in confidence, and in assurance around what God said. We said it often here. God will not do our part, and you and I cannot do God's part. There is partnership. Faith has expectation on God and places expectation on us to God, to come to God, to rise up, to believe that he exists, to expect that he rewards us, and to get in action around what we believe and what we expect. So biblical faith or expectation, it has two components. It has assurance and it has action. It has assurance and it has action. It is used most often to mean trust or confidence in God. We're assured. So when you think about biblical faith of this year, you think about that word expectation. We're assured because we can be confident in God because he's proved himself trustworthy, faithful. He speaks, he keeps his word, and he fulfills his word. Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 11, verse 1. And action. To believe or to expect requires action. Again, not just intellectual understanding or assent. It's a lifestyle of walking in faith. So biblical faith, biblical expectation talks about I have this confidence, this anticipation, this assurance in God, in what he's doing, and I'm going to get in action to express my expectation, to embody the expectation that I have. So expectation is like a coin, and it involves two sides. Expectation involves faith, and it involves faithfulness. This is really important to get. If we're going to be a people of expectation this year, God wants us to be a people of faith, and he wants you and me to be a people of faithfulness. There are two sides to the same coin. Expectation is faith. Expectation is faith. The Lord has a part, and I have expectation in him. The Lord has a part. The Lord is at work. The Lord is speaking. The Lord is moving. And I have expectation. I have confidence, assurance, anticipation in him. I believe, I hope, and I trust in the Lord. I have confidence, assurance, and anticipation. I hear what the Lord says. I hear what the Lord does and what he promises. And I trust who he is. And I trust what he has done as a prophetic fulfillment and promise of what he will do. So I have expectation of the Lord and in the Lord for who he is and for what he will do. So one side of the coin of expectation is faith. It's faith in God. It's faith in God to do his part. It's faith in God that he's at work. It's faith in God that he wants to meet with me, that he wants to move, that he wants to bring things into fulfillment and into purpose with his will. God is at work. So expectation has faith. And has faith in God. Expectation is faithfulness. I have a part. There is expectation of me. First, expectation expressed as faith says, I have faith and trust in God. He has a part. I have an expectation in him and of him. But expectation is faithfulness says, I have a part. Something is expected of me. I come, I act, I prepare, and I respond. I am faithful to do my part. I diligently seek the Lord. And reading from like Luke chapter 11, that would be to intentionally seek, ask, and knock. Those would be some things that I do as a part of faithfully expressing my expectation. There's an expectation on me of faithfulness, so I ask, I seek, and I knock. I willingly take on expectations to partner with the Lord. There are expectations on me that I'll respond and get in action with what the Lord is doing in me and around me and through me. Here's an example of expectation expressed as faithfulness. I want to give you an illustration of it. If I believe that God is here, if I believe that God is at work in us and through us and among us, then I will do what it takes to prepare to come early, to set an example in loving others, in worshiping God. I will pay attention to what the Lord is doing. And then I will bless what the Lord is doing by doing my part, which might be interceding for others, praying at ministry time, giving an encouraging word, reaching out to others, whatever that is. That's expectation as faithfulness. There's an expectation on me to get in on what the Lord is doing. So, biblical faith is about expectation. It's about expectancy. It's about anticipation. We can have confidence in God because He keeps His word and He fulfills His word. We can trust God, for He is faithful. That's what the scripture teaches us that we read. In reading Hebrews 11, you see that these people, they have confidence in God. They trusted the Lord, that He gives His word, He keeps His word, and He performs His word. They came to God with holy expectation. And then they expressed their expectation in action. Faith is not passive. Rather, all these people were committed in this chapter because they got in action around their faith, around what they believed of the Lord. They accepted the expectation of faithfulness to walk with the Lord and to do what He wanted them to do. So those who believe in God, who have faith, they put their faith into action. Enoch walked with God because he had faith. He had expectation. He believed. He diligently sought the Lord. And the scripture says he pleased the Lord. The other spiritual forefathers, they acted in faith. They diligently, intentionally pursued the Lord, and they responded to him. So where's the message going? Glad you asked. The word for the year is faith. The word for the year is? Very good. Expectation has two parts. Thank you, Brent. One part is, say it again. That's the expectation on who? It's expectation on us. It also has expectation as faith. Faith in who? In God. God has a part, and I have a part. So this year, as we pursue the Lord in expectation, I believe God wants to raise our anticipation. He wants to raise our confidence. He wants to raise our assurance that the words that He's been speaking over us, the glimpse of the promised land that He has given us, what He's told us it's like, that now we're crossing in the Jordan River that we're supposed to possess, this is not just something far out there. This is something that is alive and active. And God says, I want to give this to you. I want to fulfill this in you. It's not going to all happen in this year alone, but I believe we're moving into the fulfillment of what God says because He's faithful. God, we can have faith in Him because He keeps His word that He's spoken over us and He fulfills it. And then when we say we're a people of faith, there's an expectation on us to be faithful. Expectation is faithfulness, which means we're going to get in action and we're going to respond to what He's doing around us, through us, and in us. So, some questions. What would it look like if you pursued the Lord diligently and expectation this year? What would it look like, we're at the beginning of a new year, if you pursued the Lord diligently with expectation this year? What would that look like? What would change? What would you need to be faithful to get in action around? What are some things that you would do? What would that expectation mean as far as trusting God, having confidence in Him, assurance? What would it look like for us to diligently pursue Him? Second question. What would it look like if you came to our gatherings with expectation to meet with the Lord and to bless what He was doing? What would it look like for you to come with expectation to our gatherings to do two things, an expectation to meet with the Lord and to bless what he's doing, whether you are aware that he meets with you or not. God is at work. So we come and we meet with him and or we bless what he's doing around us in others. What does that look like? What would it look like if you went out of these walls with expectation? What would it look like if you went out of these walls with expectation, being aware of the Lord in others, and being intentional to ask, how can I pray for them? So what would it look like to have expectation that diligently seeks the Lord? What would it look like to have expectation that comes expectantly to gatherings, both to meet with the Lord and to bless what he's doing? What would it look like to live with that expectation, to go out of these walls with expectation, to be aware of others and to be available to pray for others? And then the fourth question, what would it look like if you prayed with expectation? What would it look like if you prayed with expectation in 2018? Luke chapter 18, a powerful passage that Jesus teaches us on prayer, especially in the end time context. In verse 1, it says, this is how you ought to pray always and not give up. And then he tells us the story about the woman who badgers the judge for a just declaration on her behalf. And then verse 8, after sharing this teaching of persistent believing, asking and seeking, Jesus asked these words. He said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? What kind of faith? The faith that keeps on asking and doesn't give up. I have people all the time, when I'm talking with them about their prayer life, the individual prayer life, their corporate prayer life, well, I just don't pray that much. I'm not praying. But they'll tell me they're a person of faith. Can I tell you from the scripture, if you have faith that does not pray, it is not biblical faith. That's from the scripture. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? What kind of faith? Faith that believes him enough to pray, that believes that he is faithful. And so I'm going to do my part to be faithful in prayer and humble asking. Calvary, we experienced this morning a testimony. Lorinda said the thing that changed for her was she came expectant to the Sunday morning service, and what happened? The Lord met her. Isn't that a great encouraging word? This morning in worship, the Lord began to prophesy over us. The Lord began to move, and the Lord was at work in this place. Some of us, the prophetic word was we were experiencing heaviness. We were experiencing discouragement, so we weren't even aware of what was going on. So the Lord was coming to lift that off of us. Now, I'm coming with this word of expectation, so I'm pretty jazzed, right? I'm really excited. And I'm going, Lord, who is that word for? Who do you want to lift up their head? And so I was not feeling that discouragement or that heaviness. I was encouraged by this word that I'm bringing you today. So I began to bless what the Lord was doing through the prophetic song, that he would encourage people, that he would inspire people, that he would lift up their hearts, which is what they were singing. I wanted to bless what the Lord was doing, even though that's not what I needed and what was happening in me. Do we come with an expectation to meet with God and to bless what he's doing? That's the question. Are we available to bless what he's doing? You know, for years and years and years, I think one of the most challenging changes in my role has been I love to pray for people at the end, at ministry time, up here at the front, because I expect God to move and touch people. And I see God come with healing, salvation, deliverance, and encouragement every week. I see God move. And I pray, there's times when I'll, in the middle of the service, I'll get a word of knowledge, and there's no way to give that or no place to give it in the past. And so I'll be praying, God, whoever that is, would you touch them? And I can't tell you the number of times that someone comes up to me with that exact thing that I was praying for and blessing during the service. God loves to do those divine appointments. Now I have the privilege to greet people and to welcome people, and I get to do a part of pastoral ministry that's really significant, and I get to pray for people at the end of service, and that's a part of my new role. But Calvary, I want you to know, it is an honor, whatever our role, whatever our part, to bless what the Lord is doing. During worship, as we began to sing that song at the end, I don't know why, but the Lord brought someone in my mind who's been a part of Calvary for years and years in the past and was here recently, David Brimer. And so the Lord brought him to my mind, and so I just began to pray for him. And then the Lord brought to my mind, pray for what's going on in Iran. I'm on the move in that nation. Would you bless what I'm doing? So I blessed what he was doing. And that was just out of the clear blue. Maybe the Lord prompted you today and you were thinking of someone to intercede for, to pray for. Maybe someone that the Lord said, hey, would you go encourage that person at the service? Here's what I believe. I believe God is here and God's on the move and we get to partner with him. Are we available? Calvary, I want to challenge you. Would you come with expectation? Expectation doesn't show up at 10:05. At 10:10, at 10:20, it doesn't show up then. Expectation says, I'm going to come and I'm going to model this anticipatory attitude. I'm going to come and I'm going to greet people and I'm going to begin praying for people even before the service comes. And if there's no one here, I'm going to pray for the seats. I'm going to pray. I'll become a captain of my section. And everybody that comes in, I'm going to make sure they feel greeted. I'm going to make sure they feel loved. That's getting an action in faithfulness around expectation. That's a real practical thing. Our word for this year is expectation. I pray we'll grow in expectation. I pray we'll have a high expectation of him because he is faithful. May our expectation be expressed as faith in God, and may our expectation be expressed as faithfulness in our personal walk with the Lord, in our corporate gatherings with the Lord, as we walk out of here in partnership with the Lord, and then continuing in season and out of season, individually, collectively, to be the house of prayer God has called us to be. Those are just a few of the things. God's on the move, and you and I get to be a part of it. And what we saw in this testimony from our sister, from Lorinda, I really believe the Lord said, I'm going to be doing new things in your midst. Forget the former things. I'm going to be doing new things in your midst. I have an anticipation. And the scripture says something is established by two or three. It's confirmed. And on that Sunday when Lorinda had that experience, Brent had an experience. It was so energizing from five rows back at the end of the service. We're finishing up the prayer time and get through. And then he yells at me, I know who I am now. He had to shout that out. There were two manifestations that day. I believe they're seeds. Calvary, come with expectation. What is he going to do? I don't know. Are we ready for it? I don't know. Will we let him do what he wants to do? Let's say yes. This is who we're called to be. Let's get an action around an expectancy to see him grow us in intimacy, community, to kingdom, to see him grow us in a strong hope, to see him use us as a part of the harvest, to see him use us as the pioneering church he's called us to be, that we've been all these years, and that God's making a way, preparing a way. And may we come with the desire and the expectation of encounter in Jesus' name. Would you please stand? I want to pray this over us. With the Lord helping us, let's rise up to believe God like our spiritual fathers and mothers. Let's rise up with expectation that expresses itself in faith and in faithfulness. And let's be a people of anticipation and action. Oh God, would you do this in me? We say, with you helping us, God, we want to be believers like our spiritual fathers and mothers. With you helping us, we want to rise up with expectation that has faith and has faithfulness. And Lord, I pray with you helping us that we'll rise up with anticipation and action. Would you do that in me? Would you do that in us collectively? It's not enough, Lord Jesus, for just a few people to get it. Father, we pray that we will grow in expectation this year. Holy expectation. That we will grow in anticipation, in confidence. God, I pray for that. I pray for that. God, I pray that we'll leave behind lethargy. God, I pray we'll leave behind the things that, like Cain, just going through the motions. We want to forget the former things. Lord, we believe you're doing a new thing. Help us to perceive it. Help us to get in on it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite ministry team members to come up now. Isn't your faith kind of high as you get to pray for people? Get to pray for others. Bless them. Our ministry team members are here because God's here and he wants to touch us. God told us years ago to make room in our services. He wanted to touch people. He wants to touch people with healing, salvation, deliverance, and encouragement. He wants to come with prophetic words. He wants to come with impartation. He wants to come with divine transaction. Our God is here and he's at work and he wants to move and he wants to touch. So this morning, if you need a touch from God, if you need encouragement, if you need an impartation, if that heaviness that was prophesied has not left you yet, if it didn't leave in the worship, we want to be a part of breaking that off of you and releasing blessing. As I was sharing just then, the word hopelessness popped into my head. I think that a part of that heaviness that Beth was singing about earlier, some of us are in such hopelessness because of the past. Failure, we failed God, we failed others, we let people down. And that hopelessness, wow, faith and hope go together. We've got to have hope in the future. We've got to have hope in God. We've got to have hope that he can make all things new. It's the active thing, the anticipatory part. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. But if you're struggling with hopelessness, I believe God is here to break that off of you, to give you a fresh start, to give you a new place. Lord, we love you. We love what you're doing in our midst. We love the future and hope that you have for us as a family of faith, as Calvary Community Church. We thank you for the destiny and calling that you have on Greater Houston. We thank you. Thank you for letting us be alive at this time in history. Thank you, God, that you would allow us to have faith in you and then to express our faith with faithfulness. Oh, Father, I know we're growing. I know we're learning. I know we've not arrived, but we're so glad to be on the journey with you. We love you. I pray you'll bless these teams now. You'll anoint them. I pray you'll use them with power and authority. I pray that you'll do mighty works through their prayers. We partner with you today, Holy Spirit. It's a joy. Lord Jesus, we know you're speaking and working, touching and moving. Father, you're with us and for us right now. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.